You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSC Securities Exchange has opened its doors for another day, so it's time for the opening with Skulk Lowe, who's a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth in the Western Cape. Skulk, let's start with last night in the United States, because it was looking a little bit iffy at one stage when the market first opened, but turned around beautifully, and we had a really, really good session. So markets were up, in other words. What happened? Why did it turn around?
Well, Powell spoke, and I think to some extent that they maybe grasp some positivity from his side. But just to put that in perspective, Lindsay, I mean when we chatted, and that was the 5 o'clock shadow, so that was pretty much just after five.
Yeah.
You know, we were looking at a Nasdaq that was in that stage trading 1% down.
Yes.
Looked at the markets around about, let's call it 9 o'clock our time. And suddenly I was looking at a Nasdaq that was looking green and pretty much on the trot, eventually ended close to 1% up. So, what a swing on, we did see a Dow of S&P 500 that was, positive on that stage, but the tech companies were extremely under pressure. That, it turned around. Clearly they liked what Powell said. And I don't really know why. I mean, we look at a dollar index this morning that is trading, flirting with that 90 points. I mean, when I looked at it 5 minutes ago, it was trading at 89 point something. So I still think that there was some positivity that I would really be skeptic over the next few days about.
Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices so that can give us some sort of context to the rest of our conversation. The dollar rand is 14.56 after yesterday's budget, which we'll talk about in a moment. We covered it last night, but anyway, it is worthy of more analysis. The British pound against the rand is 20.59. The euro rand is 17.72. The euro dollar is 121.70. That's a slightly weaker US dollar, slightly more positive euro. Last night in the United States, the Dow Jones turned around beautifully, up 1.3%. The S&P was up 1.1%, and the Nasdaq, as you quite rightly said, closed up 1%. This morning in the Far East, let me just scroll down here a little bit here. Shanghai up 0.6%, Tokyo, the Nikkei Dow, up 1.2%, and the Hang Seng is a 1.1% winner, with the All Share in Sydney up 0.8%. On the commodities front, the gold price is $1,792, which is down 7. The platinum price is up 15 to $1,266. Where's palladium, please?
Palladium is also a little bit down this morning, trading at $2,420.
Okay, I'm just getting the oil price up at the moment, and that is up 0.5%. The West Texas is $63.52 per barrel. Can you believe it? The Brent crude oil, The Brent crude oil price also up 0.5% to $67.38 per barrel. This is unbelievable. And when I look at the CRB commodity index, the CRB index has increased by 14.73%. So let's call it 15% since the beginning of the year. Commodity prices across the board, whether it be cheese, wool, gasoline, gold, platinum, whatever commodity you favour, when you put them all into a basket, commodity prices are up 15%. Come on now. Mm. That's got massive implications, Skulk.
Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, when listened to some of the commentators yesterday, talking about the budget. So firstly, I mean, with the rand again trading around about the 14.50 levels. I mean, you can see the rand while Tito Mboweni yesterday was talking, and you can clearly see there was, I don't say it was a surprise, because I didn't find any major surprises within Tito Mboweni's speech yesterday. But again, if we sat six months ago, basically the interim budget, I think the general consensus was, we're going to pay a lot more, in terms of taxes, this and this and this. So the general consensus now is, South Africa has got lucky because we had this commodity cycle that had swung up. And that basically helped us in the interim not paying this extent of the let's call it the taxes. I just want to remind people, economics 101 is when you take one rand and you earn that one rand and you put that in the let's call it the economy, that that is not eventually just going to end up being R1. That's going to multiply and most probably end up being R7 within the economy because, you know, from a commodity point of view, they earn that. There's more people that is employed, you know, doing that type of job. They're going to earn, they're going to spend this money at places like Truworths and Mr. Price, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I still think and I've maintained to the fact and I still believe that South Africa has got a lot of risk. And I addressed this in my FinWeek article for this week where I said, well, let's just make the glass half full. I mean, firstly, let's be honest, South Africa is still in a high risk environment. Our debt levels is extremely high. And when we address that, let's call it the debt to GDP levels, it's still a problem. But you know, if you to get a scenario where this commodity cycle which you just referred to really start getting some more traction, which I do think it can. I mean, when we look at let's call it the relative trading according to let's call it the IMF's all commodity index relative to equities, it's still trading at fairly low relative, you know, levels. If this picks up and we see a stronger run in commodities, I want to say that I think suddenly the GDP side, in, you know, from South Africa's point of view, you know, might surprise on the upside,
yes,
which suddenly address that debt to GDP levels, you know, a lot harder. I don't want to call, you know, one swallow summer. This is definitely not me saying we're out of the woods because that's actually not the fact, but it is picking up. It is picking up and it's looking very good. We're still a commodity-driven country. You know, I know it's less than, let's call it the 80s and the 90s, and you know, even 15 years ago, but it's still, you know, we're still very much a commodity-driven, you know, country.
Of course we are. And it will be a legacy that will be with us forever. Even if we do get our manufacturing and industrial economies going, the fact is that we do have an amazing amount of resources under the ground in South Africa. And maybe one day we'll exploit them to the fullest. I mean, companies like Kumba Iron Ore, for example, have done incredibly well. But other companies without the legislation and with all the red tape can do even better than they are at the moment. But anyway, that's another discussion. What was on the Stock Exchange News Service this morning? When you wake up, obviously, you have a look at the Stock Exchange and see what's going on there. Was there any company results that caught your eye today?
Yeah, there was actually quite a few. I think the first one definitely was Impala Platinum.
Yes.
So again, you know, let's start off. I mean, we were on the commodity conversation, so let's just continue it. You know, Impala guided well enough. So I think, you know, to me personally, I didn't find, you know, huge surprises within Impala Platinum's results yet. I mean, yet are we looking at a share price this morning that is up, you know, over 5%. So let's just break it down a little bit. Revenue was up 107%. Headline earnings per share, that grew 325%, you know, from you know, R4.36 per share in 2019 to R18.55. So this is now sort of, you know, what we were talking about just, Lindsay. We were talking about these companies suddenly is, you know, earning massive revenues. I mean, this, you're talking about 107% growth in revenue. This is taxable revenue, which is good for South Africa, which is good for, but let's just focus on South Africa. Let's go back to Impala Platinum. Now, Impala Platinum, although the name says Impala Platinum, one should always just realize that this is not just a pure platinum company, although it's still a big part of the turnover. They are a palladium, rhodium type of company as well, which also has done very, very well. Platinum is still a little bit, you know, big in let's call it in their total portfolio. And there is always the conversation is what's the future on automotives? You know, are we going to see? Because remember, platinum, you know, the biggest usage for platinums is basically the automotive industry. I think last that we saw, it's around about 45% of you know, platinum's usage actually are made up, you know, in the automotive industry. And that's not good. And naturally, if we of the opinion that we're going to go the electric route, and then eventually all cars will be electric, I mean that's pretty much, let's call it, close to 50% of platinum's usage, you know, gone, or demand's gone. Yet, just always remember that the fact that there's the thing that for diesel autocatalysts, they currently use palladium. But when that gap, let's call it the gap between platinum and palladium, becomes too big, or the discount, so to speak, then they can make the conversion. They can make the conversion from using palladium to using platinum, which naturally will be good for. And I actually just looked at a relative graph, for platinum relative to palladium, and it's trading at extreme underperformance levels. Typically, the levels where you will see these companies or manufacturers start, or what they call OEMs, manufacturing, so original equipment manufacturers.
Yes,
where they start switching from palladium to platinum.
But it takes a while. But I think the process has started. That is why we're seeing platinum go up so much. It's not as if you can suddenly say, we're going from palladium to platinum, and that's the manufacturing process will accommodate that switch. It does take anything up to 18 months, from what I understand from people in the know. And that's why we're seeing platinum up at the moment, I think.
No, definitely. So I think, not going to focus too much, in further on Impala Platinum. I think we've had chat about it, in a week or two ago, on the guidance. In general, very, very good. I think the prospects are looking good. I think when we look at the current sales to embedded value, the sales to EV, it's looking, enterprise value, it's looking very, very good. It's still cheap in my view, and I do think, Impala Platinum, according to our models, is still looking attractive at current level. So don't just look at the share price when you look at this company. You need to look at the fundamentals, and fundamentally, this company is looking good. So
it's a good company.
Stepping off Impala, yes, definitely. Then Woolworths.
Let me just go through the numbers now, because you're going to have to be selective when you pick the ones that have come out on the Stock Exchange news service this morning. Impala, we've done. Share price up. Let's call it 6%. MTN Group Ghana results came out. The share price up 3.1%. We don't need that one. Exxaro Resources has disposed of shares in Tronox. We don't worry about that. Woolworths, Nippy Rockcastle. They came out with their trading statement at 7.05 and then their results at 7.20. So that's interesting. Liberty Holdings trading statement. Discovery coming out with their numbers. Let's go to Woolworths, because I've seen you, Skalk. I've seen you walking around in summer. And you're a Woolies man. I've seen you wearing that cheap stuff. Yeah, I'm not saying, it doesn't matter what you, and you're a fine figure of a man, so it doesn't matter what you wear. Yeah, anything will look good on you. But I can tell that you go down to Woolies and buy stuff because it's easy. Tell me about Woolworths, please.
I'm so glad I've got a face for radio. nobody could actually see what I'm currently wearing, but yeah, Lindsay, I do shop at Woolies, but unfortunately not the clothing side. I like the Woolies food side. Yeah, the clothing do not unfortunately excite me. I know to some people it does. It's still a struggling environment. They again, we kept on mentioning, but the Australian side is still under pressure. They use nice words like things like rose and robust, and things are trading environments increasing. So, but I do think that there's still a company that I want them to address this Australia, because year on year, results on results, it actually shows that the Australian side is not picking up sufficiently, and more importantly, the clothing side in general is just this ball and chain for the total company. I would still think, if this company would had to split up in two companies, namely Woolworths Other and Woolworths Food, I think this would be a totally different story, and I would wonder how many people would actually be focused and invested on the Woolies Other. I think most people invest in this company from a, let's call it a food point of view, and then when you look at that, then I say, well, then I prefer companies like ShopRite or Spar, because this is typically companies that is they focus on those areas. Even in the likes of a Spar, who do also got companies or shops outside the borders of South Africa, Poland and those type of countries. Even they are, you can see it's managed a lot better because they are extremely focused on the it's called the food sales, the food retailing side. Again, I think I said it 6 months ago, and I'll say it again. This is not a company that I'll be rushing, you know, to buy into yet. I will watch, you know, I'll monitor it another 6 months. I want to see what happens at the next. And then the other two companies is
Discovery. We have to start with Discovery. Yeah. Tell me about that one, because that has been one that's obviously it's a fantastic company, but it's been a little bit. I don't know. It's been a little bit up and down recently, whether it comes to the share price or whether it comes to the future strategy. What did the results say to you today?
I must admit, I'm not going to. It's not a company that's within our, you know, model portfolios. So and also not something that I really spend a lot of time on. You know, when the results came out, which is pretty much now 2 minutes ago. 15 minutes ago. So in general, I think you know, just the short deadline on NS per share that dropped 10%, you know, the embedded value also decreased 2%. So very similar to what we've seen on a Liberty, you've seen, you know, in most of the insurance companies, you can see that this is a company that has been under, you know, pressure in a COVID environment. Again, they did not declare interim dividends, so dividends are not being paid. But I think the reason why we're seeing a share price that is up, you know, 1.2% for Discovery is I do think it is maybe somewhat better than expected. When I look at both these companies, and when I say both these companies, I talk about Liberty and Discovery, I didn't get warm, fuzzy feeling. I mean, Liberty, they were talking about this let's call it this trading statement for the year ended 31st of December 2020, and then they immediately start off by saying, well, they really struggled because you know particularly the lower investment returns for shareholder investment portfolios, SRPs, you know, that was one of the main reasons. Well, we know that's picked up now. I mean, yes, I think the interest rate environment is still fairly low, but other investments like you know, our bond investments and our local equity investments, even offshore equity investments, you know, up to end of December, yeah, I don't think that's really, you know, been that bad. I mean, naturally, I mean, we were in COVID, but I think when I look at these numbers, when I look at the headlines earnings per share, I look at you know, comparatively between Sanlam, Mutual, Liberty, Discovery, I still prefer the first two. You know, Sanlam and Mutual, they do seem like they've got a little bit of better growth on an ROE basis. You know, the dividends are still you know, a little bit better. You know, Discovery, we know there's no dividends now. You know, on a forecast basis, I do think that those two look a little bit better. So, yeah, sweet and sour. When we look at Liberty, they actually down after the results came out 1.7%. And like I said, Discovery now is just flirting with that 1% positive day. So,
Grindrod. Let's move on to the proper results now. Grindrod came out with their results, the share price up 0.5%. Anglo American PLC summarized preliminary financial results for the year ended 31st of December and notice of dividend, the share price up 4.1%. That's not bad.
Very good.
Isn't that good?
The mining houses in general is you know, I'm so proud of the likes of Anglos, because, you know, we tend to forget, you know, how under pressure the likes of Anglo American you know, were, you know, Anglo-Platz and Anglo-American, all these companies were, you know, the latter part of 2015, beginning of 2016. I mean, these companies were literally priced for bankruptcy. I mean, their debt levels were extremely high. You know, Anglo-American itself, they needed to sell some of their let's call it crown jewels, just to see to the, you know, the decrease of their debt levels. And I mean, the rest is history. I mean, look at the performance since then. And like I said in the beginning of this podcast, I don't think it's over yet. I think the commodity cycle is looking fairly positive.
Amazing. I think it's looking amazing. I won't say the word super cycle, but it. I spoke briefly to another commentator, and he said to me, this is not just a bounce back from low levels. This is something much more meaningful. But anyway, go on.
No, that's me. I do think this is something, you know, meaningful, and I think I would caution all investors out there, you know, stating that this is done too much, you know, in too short period of time. I'm not a short type of guy, but I would caution, you know, any short term trader shorting, you know, the commodity shares. I've seen a similar movement there in the mid 2000s, and you know, if this was anything to go by that period of time, this would be the worst, you know, time to be shorting any forms of commodities. They are doing well. I mean, this is the most healthiest. I mean, look at Impala Platinum this morning and their results. This is the healthiest that I've seen the likes of Platinum, Palladium, gold companies. I mean, we've seen a few of them. Goldfields last week, Anglo Gold, Durban Rudapur, D Harmony earlier this week, Impala Platinum, Amplats. I mean, the free cash flow that these companies are generating, they are money printing machines. I mean, yes. America would think that they're the money printing machine of the world, but I want to actually say that these mines are currently becoming the money printing machine. So again, I think it's a positive thing for these companies, but I think extremely positive thing for South Africa.
What about we can go on about commodities for hours and hours, because I think it's a fantastic story. As I said earlier on, nearly 15% up this year, a basket of commodities, and we're only on the 25th of February. Mondi came out with their results earlier on, an hour ago. I don't know if you had a chance to look at those. Is it a company that you watch?
Yeah, it's not only a company that I watch. It's a company that I'm invested in. So I do like it. It's also a commodity company. Naturally, I mean, it's a softer commodity company. It's also got very, very strong defensive qualities. I know a lot of people would argue that last year with everything being closed, COVID, you know, the packaging environment were under pressure because there was, you know, less boxes of wine, et cetera. This still remains an extremely positive company. Remember, when you order something from Amazon or Takealot or whichever, I mean, that packaging that let's call it product actually arrive at your house is usually, you know, produced by a company like Mondi. I mean, so
yes,
you know, the more these, let's call it the let's call it the online shopping environment increases of it globally, this will be positive for the likes of a Mondi. And I love the company, strong dividend payer. I mean, it's still a commodity play, but yeah, all in all, I didn't think it looked too bad. It actually looked, you know, quite positive. And when we look at the share price this morning, share price reacted, that's also up 1.5%.
Very good indeed. Across the board, it's a really, really good morning. Let's have a look at the top five major movers on my screen, which is 15 minutes delayed, as always. Sibanye-Stillwater. I really liked that story earlier on this week. In fact, it was yesterday, that they have invested in a lithium battery company in Finland, I think it was. It's just so forward-thinking. Anyway, the share price up nearly 9% this morning. Incredible stuff. The Northern Platinum price is up 8.25%. Anglo-American Platinum is up 6.5%. So we've got platinum, and actually the fourth one is also platinum, which is Royal Bafokeng, up nearly 6%. And actually the top five are all platinum companies, with a little bit of gold with Sibanye as well. But Impala Platinum up for nearly 6% also. What a morning for the JSE, the old school JSE. The diggers and the dealers are doing well. On the downside, we've got a retailer, Truworths, down 1.1%. Textainer down nearly 1%. The JSE Limited is nearly 1% weaker as well. Momentum Metropolitan Insurance Company down 0.7%. And Pick and Pay, a retailer, down 0.4%. Any other shares that you're looking at, Skulk?
No, I think we've pretty much covered it all. But just to I think this is typically the day where if you're without you know, any form of platinum in your portfolio, when I talk about any form of platinum, I'm doing direct platinum. I'm not talking about the indirect, you know, through the likes of Anglo American. I'm talking about direct platinums. Yeah. If you don't have any platinum in your portfolio, when we look at the JSE, you know, all share cap swicks, that's very close to 11% of the index is pure you know, platinum players, you know, with Impala Platinum being the largest. Then you've also got Sibanye. So with Sibanye with a 9% growth today, I think this is gonna hurt anybody that's don't know any platinum players in their portfolio. But yeah, in general, I think we've covered them all. Very positive day, and let's see if it holds up. We've got 2 days left, you know, February. I can't believe we're already talking about March.
I know. I know we're in the third month of the first quarter. I mean, as we get older, of course, time gets compressed. But let's not talk about that sort of thing. Let's talk about the JSE indices after just over an hour of trading on this Thursday.
Okay, this is going to be fun to read out, because let's start off with the JSE All Share. JSE All Share currently trading at 67,326. That's up 1.7%. I'm going to leave the best for last, which is the resource index. Jump over to the industrial index, which is literally just shy of being unchanged, up 7 basis points. The financial index, that is up 91 basis points. Even old SA property index, that is up 90 basis points. And here we go. The resource index today
is
up 4.4% as we currently speak. So what a pleasure. What a boykey. So, great day. So let's hope it continues, because as I mentioned, the better this does, I think the better it is for South Africa.
Yeah, I haven't heard that word for a while, boykey. What a boykey is Skalk Low. And before the boykey goes, I just want to tell you that the US 10-year bond yield is now 1.422%, close to a year high. So the price of money is going up. So watch out, Boyke. Skalk Low is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth. That was the opening, and Skalk will be back with me next Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.